Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Well, thank you, Jim. I'm Zach Clinton, and on behalf of my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, I want to thank you for joining us, for listening, and for sharing us with your friends. The excitement has been building around here at AACC and wherever I go with the people I meet. The feedback I'm hearing, my friends, is that people want encouragement. They want positivity. They're tired of the beatdown. People need to be lifted up and reminded that no matter what, things will be okay, and in fact, things are okay. Well, my special guest today on the broadcast understands that, and she lives it out. Her name is Megan Fate Marshman, and by her own admission, she is a disciple, mom, hope sharer, joy spreader, and proclaimer of Christ. She has had quite a journey over the past 4 years, though, and she's going to share a lot about her loss, her pain, grief, but also her hope and joy for living with a deeper trust in the Lord no matter life circumstances. So lean in. I promise you're going to love her. Here now is Miss Megan Marshman. Miss Megan, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today.
It is an honor.
First and foremost, I am just so excited to have you on the show. I have been patiently anticipating and been so excited and expectant for this conversation. But before we dive into a deep conversation today on grief, on loss, on pain and challenge, and on all the goodness and faithfulness that we can really find in the midst of those times, I have to ask a fun question up front, because you wear a lot of different hats, right? Teaching, pastoral within the church, speaking, writing, mothering, if that's even a word. What is some of the most exciting things going on in your life currently in this season that you find yourself in?
Oh, you know what's exciting? And I love that this is the first thing that came to mind. My son is playing the part of Jesus in his second grade chapel.
Wow.
And you know what was really fun? You know what was really fun is this morning I got to get there early, set up a bunch of microphones so they could practice. Yeah, it is a big role. Yeah, he's playing the part of our Lord and Savior. But I got to get to there. And I got to do all the behind the scenes stuff so that these little people could speak and lead. And basically what they're teaching is why to go on your knees in prayer. And so the reason I think it's such joy to me is a lot of my jobs that you just mentioned is up on stages. And the mothering piece is interesting because that's the one that's like not on the stage, not applauded. And for those of you listening, you know exactly what I mean. And it's so hard because it's so easy to bring the creativity to all these places that are up front, you know, in the counseling room when you're going to be on and performing. And then someone looks at you and says, thank you. And then to bring the same type of energy, enthusiasm, creativity to your home. But what I love in this unique way is that I get to serve in the same ways that I do, but then watch them shine.
Megan, no, I appreciate you talking about all these exciting things that God is doing in and through your life and just these pockets and these moments where we can just truly give thanks and praise God, even before, you know, moments of breakthrough in our own personal lives. You talk about different seasons in life, those winter-like seasons where it's just hard and it's excruciating. And I know for you, a painful and difficult season of life started over a little over 3 years ago now when your husband, Randy, went to heaven at a young age. And I'm sure with the loss of the man that, you know, you probably pictured yourself spending the rest of your days with. There's been a lot of tears shed, a lot of challenge, a lot of adversity, a lot of long nights, a lot of wrestling. There's a lot of people out there who they need to understand the significance of vulnerability, because I believe vulnerability is not weakness. Vulnerability is strength. And so if it would be all right with you, Megan, I would love for you just to share with our listeners, you know, just the tough go that maybe the last 3 years have been, and maybe the challenges and the dark and murky waters that you've walked through and endured over the last several years.
Enduring grief has been the hardest thing I've ever had to go through and walk in. And it's funny, I could say the most profound thing right now, and still grief is just the very worst thing. So it's weird that I would, by the end of even the answer to this question, I would want to woo people to be willing to grieve, because I also know how that feels and it is awful. But here's what I've learned, probably one of many things, but one of the things I've learned is, or been reminded of, but learned afresh through grief, is that this world is not as it should be. And if we're willing to go there, we'd actually see that we're not as we should be. And so our willingness to grieve, I think, is coming to grips with that reality. And the reason we got to bring it to the Lord through honest prayer is because this doesn't surprise him. And I believe he grieves about it too. And he actually hates a lot of the reasons we grieve. I mean, for me, again, it's death that's leading me toward grief. And there's other things that I grieve about, but let's sit for a second on the death piece. God hated it too. So much so that his son had to endure it on our behalf. Like, God hates death so much so that he made a way to make it not as final as it feels. Because it's so weird how so many of us trust the Lord Jesus for eternal salvation, and yet the relational drama that we're in the midst of, or that fear we have that someone's mad at us, or that fear that our kids aren't going to turn out with all of our intentionality, or we do that by ourselves. And it's also tempting to do things like grief by myself. Or how about this one? Anger. Because grief can, right, manifest as like such anger. Anger is a transitional emotion. Who am I speaking to? The people that literally do this for a living. But anger is something you don't even have to be by yourself. So if I could learn anything in the loss of my partner, praise be to God that the thing that God has taught me is I didn't lose someone that I could be just as intimate with. I just didn't know how. And I'm learning, the more honest, the more I can search my heart in his presence and just speak and allow myself to feel, the more he meets me there. And I don't have the psychology behind it. I'd have to cater to you all, but something happens when it comes out. And we know this, right? As counselors, therapists, when you get someone to speak about it, that's really impactful. But when you're the one actually grieving and you're like, where's this going other than I hate it? Something is happening. And now when that direction is held toward the Lord, when we're speaking toward the Lord, something powerful, eternal, transformational is happening in that moment. And I've experienced it.
It's powerful to hear you talk about, right, feeling that grief, especially in the dark and difficult moments. I've always been reminded that we really can't heal from the things that we're unwilling to feel, and I would even add unwilling to reveal. And that's kind of what you're talking about, speaking those things with honesty and actually bringing those things, presenting them to the Lord, even though he already knows how we feel, being willing to sit with him and to chat about these things with him along the way. And what's interesting is as you've learned several lessons throughout your life, throughout this grieving process and journey, you've now come up with your newest upcoming release of your new book, and you titled it Relaxed, Walking with the One Who Is Not Worried About a Thing. And you know, we live in a culture and society, Megan, where everything is so fast-paced, independent-driven, right? Always on the go, but also in knowing that you just endured 3 years of incredible grief and mourning. Why did you choose to title the book Relaxed?
Isn't that wild? Oh, God has done a work, and that's this book. I can't wait to take people on the journey that the Lord took me through to where relaxed becomes the byproduct, not the pursuit. That's probably pretty key in this whole equation. We all try to get more relaxed. We all try to get, if I have a day off or whatever, well, I'm going to go get a massage so I can be relaxed. Being relaxed is an amazing byproduct, but I'll tell you, it's a terrible goal, because if it's the goal, you'll critique everyone and everything and every situation and circumstance based on how relaxed it makes you feel. No, that's the byproduct. And the reason it got titled that is because Dallas Willard had this great line when he was asked to describe Jesus in one word. I already gave it away. Sat back and responded, relaxed. Even as I say that word, I wonder if that's true to the listener's experience. Or maybe it's this: the people you know the Lord Jesus, that really they do trust in him, not because they try to trust in him, they just do. They have that faith in them. Isn't it true that a similarity between all of them is they have a slower paced life and they seem more relaxed? So I wanted to, not just in my book, but also in a dissertation to finish off my education, wanted to study how in the world Jesus, the one who literally carried the weight of the world on our shoulders and all of our sin, how would Dallas Willard, who I trust his, where he landed on that question, how did that happen? And the book is the answer.
It's powerful to hear you building this completely off of like the life of Christ and an understanding that he was very relaxed. And he had every right not to be relaxed, right? He had the weight of the world on his shoulders. He understood the depths of our pain. I mean, so many different things that he had to endure in his own personal life. But yet he was consistent and he was very, very relaxed. How do you think, not only did Christ do it, but how do we begin to take those steps? What are some of the lessons that you write about and you kind of reveal within your book, Megan, as to how you have understood what it means to trust God in the midst of your pain?
Yep. So I use Proverbs 3:5-6. I love taking famous passages and uncovering how in the world they got famous. I like that one. So if we're looking for steps, there's a few things that even it's a precursor even to this verse, which gives us our part in the sanctification process. Okay. So basically here's what I started to find. I started to find not only are we not relaxed, we're incredibly burdened even in our faith journey and our spiritual growth. It feels like, okay, Jesus saved me. Now it's up to me to grow me, right? And so many of us, I feel like we don't feel like we should feel by now in our time spent with the Lord Jesus, but it feels like, where do you admit that? Where do you admit that? I don't know how to spend time with him. I don't know how to, I want like a fresh encounter. So I'm going to go to a church service and trust that guy that seems really energetic, he seems that he's found something. So I'm going to keep learning from him. Or maybe you've tried this spiritual life and you've gone for it. Like you've been like, I'm getting up at 6, quiet time, first thing, like the coffee thing. And they start taking the picture, posting it, and then like a few weeks later, you're like, I'm just kind of tired because it doesn't seem to be working. What do you do then? And so the good news is that even that dry season has a point. When we see that we're not as we should be, so this is where I want to start. When we see that we're not as we should be, if you sit in church and you hear the great sermon on prayer and you're like, I want to pray better. and then by Wednesday, you don't. Okay, so why does that happen? And here's why. Because when we see this, and theologians call it the sanctification gap, the difference between where I am and where I want to be. When we see that, there's three temptations. Temptation number one, despair. And this is where I think a lot of the church lives. And it's not necessarily like depression over it. It's just this like, I'm going to settle for this valley of dry bones faith, try hard to be inspired, but really it's not working. But it's okay. I'll rely on the people that it's working for. Number one, like John Mark Comer. Number two, so despair would be the first one. The second one, and we see this in the life of a lot of people, is when they see that they're not as they should be, they get out of this. It's called the immoral temptation. So whether or not they're like doing the worst thing, or whether they're just choosing apathy and like, I'm just not going to care. The immoral temptation is, I'm going to stop trying, because if I show up to church, you're going to remind me every week how I fail. No, thank you. I'd rather go and live some sort of inspiring life where I can be applauded for the things I'm doing right than the things I'm getting called out for doing wrong. That's the immoral temptation. Now, here's the big surprise. The third temptation is the moral temptation, which is, I see a sanctification gap. I'm not as I should be. And I'm going to try really hard. Now, being a moral person is wonderful. Why is it a temptation? Because what we're doing in those moments is taking God out of the equation. So I sit in church and I go, I'm going to get better at that. And I attempt, in the power, or should I say weakness, of my own self, to try to make these massive changes. Versus, here's the fourth, that's not the temptation. And this is where the book really lands. Going to God and not yourself. So now we jump into Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. And that is a direct opposition. That's a direct opposition to trusting in one's self. And then what do you trust him with? Your entire heart. How do you know what it is? We go on that journey together. Lean not on your own understanding. So in that one, I love tackling this whole, I just need to figure out. As soon as I figure out, because we say that phrase a lot and we just don't catch it. And I hope every podcast listener hears themselves say the phrase, I just need to figure out, for the rest of their life and catches it. Because what if you don't need to figure it all out? What if there's a sovereign God that we all believe in, right? But that he has it figured out? Lean not on your own understanding, but rather lean on Christ's understanding, which actually makes your life more relaxed. Stories are coming up as I'm going, so we might have to dive deep. I mean, this is just the big overview. The third one would be, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So find him in everything. Jeremiah 29:13 says, if you seek to find him, you will. If you literally show up to church, not for inspiration, not seeking inspiration. If you show up to find God, you will not be disappointed. If you show up to your quiet time seeking to find God, you will not be disappointed. If you seek to find God in others, even those who haven't proclaimed his name yet, you will, because they're image bearers. And he says, if you seek to find me, you'll find what you're looking for. But I think we're seeking a lot of other things, and they're good things. I just think we find ourselves disappointed. Like, I want inspiration in my quiet time. I want understanding in my quiet time. I want an encounter. Seek to find him, and you'll find what you're looking for. He will make your path straight. He will. And here's the best part, your own spiritual growth. He's been orchestrating and leading the dance all along. So how do we partner with him for the growth? Not, of course, getting lazy, but rather knowing who's leading the dance and following his lead. So your question changes a lot from what should I do to, God, what are you already doing?
My goodness, Megan, it's powerful. And I cannot wait to dive in and to read it and to take away all these principles. I'm over here taking notes of all the different things. I really am. And I'm grateful just for your wisdom. And I can tell just your authenticity in your quiet time with God and what God, like you said, is teaching you about what he's already doing. He's not asking you to do more. He's just saying, follow me, sit with me, be with me, right? And just, in a sense, marvel at the goodness and the faithfulness of him. And, you know, something that you talk about in the book that I want to dive into, because you started to touch on it, was an imperative point where you say that the greatest counterfeit to living like Jesus is living in Christian autonomy, right? Trying to be like him without him. Speak to the person today, because that resonated with me, right? When I read that, I was like, wow, that hit me hard, because we get that sanctification process, the spiritual formation. We want to be like Christ. We want to do more, become more. But then, in a sense, like you said, we leave him in the back burner of our lives. And how imperative and how much of a trap that can be. Just speak to that, if you would.
Yeah. I mean, autonomy, I can remember sitting in a class for my doctorate. And he talked about and went all the way back to garden. I'm like, here we go again. Let me hear about how we're blame, shame, fear, anxiety, hiding. Like, okay, we're going to go in. Okay, yeah, teach me something I don't know. Ew, pride, right? But I remember sitting there with that type of arrogance. And then he goes, why do we hide and why do we cover? Like, what was the original sin and what really was happening there? It's like, we were living life, even though he was there, without him. And I wonder if maybe autonomy is at the root of the problem. This temptation to do anything without him. It is rampant. It's back to those like temptations. When you realize you're not as you should be, it's so tempting, at least for a lot of us. My guess is you're not the immoral like, see ya. You're not probably the one who's despairing. You're like trying really hard to make this thing work, to really become more like him. How does that actually happen? And here's what I want to tell you. It doesn't happen alone. It's like, imagine a tree, right? Imagine a tree, and then there's the fruit. The fruit is the byproduct of what type of tree it is, right? Our identity, where our roots are sinking into good soil. But imagine instead of your roots just going into soil, imagine the roots are actually your heart. Here's the visual. Proverbs also, so just a chapter later, says everything you do comes from the heart. So I mean, that's the one that's like, guard your heart, for out from it flows everything. Okay. The problem is when we try to become like Jesus, and think of it as the fruit, right? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, right? That's Jesus. So the problem is when we see that we're not as we should be, we see the fruit, what we try to do in our autonomy is try to do a different fruit, be a different fruit, literally try to attach or duct tape some other type of fruit to our branches. No. That's not the way. Guard your heart, for from it is where. So in order to do something, in order to change, you don't just try to change. That's autonomy. And that's why it's not working. Rather, what do you have to do? You go into the tree. You remind yourself of your identity. What type of tree are you? You are in Christ and he is in you. He is in your heart. And maybe the very thing he's doing. So then if you allow yourself to remind yourself of identity, and then you go down to the actual heart, that's where we have to be honest, because everything you do, the fruit of your life, is from your heart.
Megan, thank you so much for just being with us, for joining us, for your time, for your willingness, and thank you for leading us in that prayer today, but also all the incredible things that God is doing in and through your life. Thank you so much for joining us, my friend. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Well, my friends, that's our time for today. I so appreciate you spending some of it with me and Miss Megan Faith Marshman. If you'd like to hear even more of our conversation, yes, we went even deeper. She's that amazing and on fire for the Lord. Just follow my podcast. It's titled Built Different. That's right. You can follow the Built Different podcast with me, Zach Clinton, wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, though, my friends, God's blessings to you, your family, and the ones you love.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand today. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.